Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be looking at the very keynote of the sacred scriptures, the second coming of Jesus. We will learn more about this subject after you've heard some music.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upwards. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with a joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth, they will dim and lose their value when we recall their borrowed for a while. And the things of earth that caused our hearts to tremble, remembered then, they will only bring a smile. But until then, our hearts must go on singing. Until then, with a joy, let's carry on until the day when our eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls us home. But until then, our hearts must go. Until then, with a joy, let's carry on until the day when our eyes behold King Jesus. Until the day God calls us home.
the second coming of Jesus. We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, we will be discussing these questions together. What is the second coming of Jesus? Why does Jesus have to come a second time? Who is Jesus coming for the second time? When is the second coming of Jesus? And how are we to prepare for Jesus' second coming? So listeners, before we start our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once more again, Lord, we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we study your word this evening, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, Lord, to strengthen our minds and hearts and to fill us with your presence and to help us to understand your eternal words of truth is my prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is the second coming of Jesus? We read in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. We read in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 13. And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. We read in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. This is Jesus, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As we studied in our previous radio broadcast, the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, testifies of Jesus. We read in the Bible that Jesus, the Son of Man, came down from heaven at his first coming. We also read that he is coming back down again from heaven at his second coming. And so the second coming of Jesus is when he will come back down to this earth from heaven a second time. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 50 and verse 3, Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. We read in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. The Bible explains the manner of Jesus' second coming. It will not be a silent or secret event when Jesus comes down from heaven the second time. He is coming suddenly like a thief in the night, when people least expect it, with tempestuous fire, a firestorm, and with a great noise. The fire of his divine presence will burn up the atmosphere of the earth. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 104 and verse 3, Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 17, The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Jesus is also coming the second time with clouds. The clouds mentioned here in the book of Revelation are symbolic of angels, thousands and thousands of angels. We need to understand that Jesus is coming back as the Almighty God, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with his heavenly armies, millions of mighty angels. Every eye shall see him. They which pierced him shall also see him. These Bible texts show that the soldiers who pierced the Lord Jesus Christ at his side during the crucifixion will be raised again to see Jesus when he comes again the second time in all his eternal glory. All kindreds or families of the earth will wail because of him. The whole of the human family will be crying when they see him. If we think that we have heard screaming yet, then we have yet to hear what is coming. Human beings will surely see the second person of the Godhead in all his glorious power. But we have not yet finished, listeners. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 6 and verses 14 to 17, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" When Jesus comes down from heaven at his second coming, the heaven will depart as a scroll. The atmosphere above the earth will open up. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, which means slave, and every free man will hide themselves from Jesus when they see him at his second coming. Every human being on this earth will be running when Jesus comes down from heaven the second time. The second coming of Jesus will be the greatest event ever in the universe. Now, why does Jesus have to come a second time? We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." In the book of Hebrews, we read that when Jesus comes the second time, it will be unto salvation. This sums up the reason why Jesus has to come back to the earth. He is coming to complete the work of redemption that he has promised to his people. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We read in the book of John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus has let us know that his Father's house is in heaven. He has testified in the scriptures that he will come again to receive unto himself those who he has prepared a place for in heaven. He has specifically stated that he will give heavenly mansions to those who he comes for the second time. Therefore, the completion of the work of redemption involves taking people from earth to heaven. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 17 and verses 12 to 14, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We read in the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We also read in the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and verses 2 to 8. This is the angel, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her, double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Listeners, Jesus has to come the second time to execute judgment upon all. This lets us know that the work of redemption also involves judgment. These Bible texts prove that human beings are judged before Jesus comes the second time, and not after. Further evidence of this is recorded in the book of Daniel. Read Daniel chapter 7 and 8. In the book of Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, we see that Daniel was shown that the judgment would be set in heaven 2,300 days or 2,300 years after the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. This is because a day is equal to a year in Bible prophecy. See Numbers chapter 14 verse 6 and Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 6 to prove this. Now the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem was decreed historically in 457 BC through the three decrees of Cyrus, Darius and Artaxerxes. You can find this decree in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. Counting down 2,300 days or 2,300 years from 457 BC takes us down to the year AD 1844. From AD 1844 until today, and continuing until the close of human probation on this earth, God is deciding the destiny of every human being that has ever lived upon this earth. We are living now, listeners, today, in the day of judgment. In Revelation chapter 18, we just read the terrible judgment that will be executed upon Babylon the Great, the fallen and confused Christian church that has Roman Catholicism at its head. Christ has to come a second time to put a stop to the wickedness of this false religious system that Satan has used and is using under the guise of Christianity to lead the whole human race to sin and rebel against God. We point you, listeners, to our series of radio broadcasts called Who is Babylon, where we document, through scriptural and historical evidence, who spiritual Babylon is. And for more information about the Day of Judgment and how the Bible accurately records when it started, what event marked its beginning, and what event marks its end, We invite listeners to buy a book that we sell called The Judgment, Its Events and Their Order by Jane Andrews. We'll now have a break for some music and continue with our study afterwards. Jesus coming for the second time. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 50, and verses 5 and 23. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. We read in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verses 6 to 7. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the first of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Jesus is coming the second time to redeem those who have done the will of his Father. He is not coming to redeem the disobedient. He is coming for those who, through his power, have overcome sin and who do his will. He is coming for those who worship him as God. He is coming for those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice, who gave themselves sacrificially for his service. He is coming for those who offered praise and glorified him, and for those who ordered their conversation, the way they live before God and man, aright. He is coming to finish the work that he promised, that is, to take his people from this sin-cursed earth to the mansions of the blessed. He is coming to give his saints eternal life. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. We read in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We read in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 to 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 53 to 55. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listeners, Jesus testifies that an identifying mark of his divinity is his power to resurrect people from the dead. This proves that he is the Son of God. This is the great hope of the Christian, that if he dies in Christ, then he will be raised again to life by him. Jesus is coming the second time to resurrect his people from the dead and to change the vile bodies of his saints to be like his glorious body. Christ is longing to be reunited with those who have maintained a loving and saving relationship with him. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming a second time to give his people the finishing touch of immortality. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 13 to 20. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We read in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 to 13. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listeners, Jesus has to come the second time, because all the promises that he has given to his church center upon his second coming, to redeem his church from sin and to give them eternal life. The second coming of Jesus Christ, therefore, is the keynote of Scripture. For the past 6,000 years, throughout the whole of the great controversy between Christ and Satan upon this earth, the promise that Christ will give eternal life to his people is what all the Bible-believing Christians have based their faith upon. Now, when is the second coming of Jesus? We read in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We read in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verses 35 to 39. Jesus says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus' disciples asked this very same question, that is, when will you be coming, Lord? They asked him, when would the temple in Israel be destroyed, and what shall be the sign of his coming and of the end of the world? Jesus then gave them a prophetic view of the future events that his church would face, from the time of the apostles until he comes back the second time to redeem his people. These are listed in Matthew chapter 24 from verses 4 to 51 and also in other parts of the Bible, like in Mark, Luke, John, Timothy, Thessalonians, Peter, etc. And more specifically in the books of Daniel and Revelation. We direct our listeners to listen to our podcast from our ongoing series of radio broadcasts upon this subject called The Signs of the Times. These will give you a much more extended study on this subject. But listeners, Jesus lets us know clearly that no man knows the day or the hour of when his second coming will be. Even so, he has warned us to look out for the signs that foretell of his second coming to this earth. We could die tonight and the next moment meet him, either in peace or as his enemy and under his full wrath. Listeners, let us not end up as his enemy. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verses 32 to 34. Jesus says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, knows that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. When all the signs that precede the second coming of Jesus come to pass, then we know that his coming is near. Listeners, this following section you will hear is taken from a previous radio broadcast about the signs of the times. Elder Ray DiCarlo explains how the Bible foretells world history and the chronology of events which will lead up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. He also explains how we are to prepare for Jesus' second coming, which covers our next question.
When you look at Daniel 2, this is a prophecy that indicates very clearly a sequence of events placed in chronological order, which is very, very clear and precise in the manner in which it is given. In other words, there's no way in which anyone could possibly misunderstand not only the subject matter, but also the chronological sequence. There's just no way. Yes. So, for example, when you look at this vision that was given by God to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel gave the interpretation of it to him, he talks about that he saw this, Nebuchadnezzar saw an image of a man who his head was of gold, his breast and arms were of silver, his belly and thighs were of brass, legs of iron, and his feet were made of iron and clay. And then he saw a stone cut out without hands. And this stone came and smote the image upon its feet. And from among that arose up a great, great mountain, which is representative of a kingdom. Yes. And so here comes this kingdom out of the ashes of the previous kingdoms that fell and disappeared under the weight and might of this rock that came and smote it. So what happens is this depicts an image of what is to be. And Daniel even tells Nebuchadnezzar eventually how you can pinpoint the beginning of the sequence of events by stating, you, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. In other words, this is symbolic. So if Babylon represents the head of gold, then the breast and arms of silver must mean another kingdom would come after Babylon. Yes. So you just start working your way down chronologically based on the prophecy and the historical events that fulfill these characteristics. So if you look at it from a chronological standpoint, you have Babylon, Medo-Persia, then you have the belly and thighs of brass, which is Greece, the legs of iron, which is Rome, pagan Rome, of course, yes, and the feet in iron of clay, representing the destruction of the Western Roman Empire by the Germanic tribes that would divide the kingdom in the West up to 10 kingdoms. It also clearly indicates church and the indication of these metal and the clay representing church and state, how that they will attempt to unite these things that God has never said that we should put them in a unity. It's called an unholy alliance. Yes. Or as Revelation actually depicts it, as fornication, an immoral act against God. So if we look at these in chronological sequence, so here we are in Babylon, 606 to 538 BC. Then we go down to the breast and arms of silver, 538 to 331 BC. Then we go down to the belly and thighs of brass representing Greece from 331 to 168 BC. We then go to the pagan Roman Empire by the legs of iron from 168 BC all the way to AD 476. Again, we're talking about the western part of the Roman Empire. Yes. And then you look at the iron and clay, and then from 476 AD, you're looking all the way down from that point to the last days. And the next event is the stone coming cut out without hands and is going to come and smash the image on its feet, ending all earthly kingdoms and establishing a eternal kingdom that will never end, which is the eternal kingdom of God as depicted clearly in Scripture. So if you look at that from a chronological sequence, and we know clearly the impact of this prophecy, we now know emphatically, that we are down in the toes of the iron and the clay. Yes. So we know just from Daniel 2 alone, we now know emphatically we are living in the last days of Earth's history. So the next event then that we can anticipate based on the accuracy of Daniel chapter 2 is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have Daniel 2 now. This becomes the benchmark upon which you now anchor yourself in the sequence of events that would transpire to lead us all the way up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We now know we are living in the final moments of Earth's history. Now, the next prophecy, again, we're just going to quickly go through, and I recommend our listeners to go back and read these prophecies, and I would highly recommend you look at a book called Daniel Revelation by Uriah Smith. These prophecies are in there and very nicely commented upon. You can get more information along the way. The next prophecy we want to look at is in Book of Revelation. This, of course, is in chapters 2 and 3. This is talking about the seven churches. Now, once again, you look at these seven churches, and when you look at the seven churches, we now know what it really means is seven time periods, indicating the seven ages of the church, meaning the Christian church. And again, we're not talking about the Jewish church in the covenant with Abraham and so forth. We're talking about the Christian church that began and with the church of Ephesus, as indicated in the prophecy. Yeah. And we know the chronological period. Now, once again, I want to say, before I go any further, these dates that I'm giving to you, you might have some there may be a variation of a year here or there, but basically this is the general period. So, you know, as I say, if you feel that maybe the date should be modified slightly here and there, fine. But the general period cannot change, and the sequence of the order cannot change. So this is very clear. So when you start to look, for example, you have the Church of Ephesus, then you have Smyrna, then you have Pergamos, then Thyatira, then you have Sardis, you have Philadelphia, and finally we have come to the Church of Laodicea. So if you look at the seven time periods of the Christian era,
yeah,
we know based on these characteristics given within the prophecies. For example, we know Ephesus starts from AD 31 all the way to 100. Now, some people would like to say, and I'm just going to illustrate my point of the variations of the time period, but the general principle stays the same. Some indicate that the Church of Ephesus perhaps should start in 27, the baptism of Jesus. Some say it should be in 34, the stoning of Stephen, and so forth. Now, look, I'm not going to make a big issue out of that. I'm not going to argue over those things. If that's how you want to, you know, indicate that, that's fine. The one thing that we can all agree upon, it represents the apostolic age,
yes,
that first century. So if we can understand that based on the evidence, we're in good shape. So here we find from AD 31 all the way to 100. This is the period, time frame of the Church of Ephesus. So from that point, once again, you have a linchpin. So now you have a cornerstone that you can build something on. It's something that's critical. So we now know Smyrna must come after the first century. So what do we have? So we have Smyrna from AD 100 to all the way to 323. So there's the Church of Smyrna. Then you come to Pergamos. And again, the characteristics and all the identifying marks, and keeping in context of the order in which they're given, we now know that the Church of Pergamos must be AD 323 to 538.
Yes.
Thyatira comes right after, from 538 to 1517. Again, of course, 1517 being Martin Luther nailing in the 95 Theses, and so forth. So if you look at that and the great protest of Martin Luther. Now, again, that can be varied. You can change that to 321. You can change it to 329 or 1521 or 1529 or however you want to frame in that regard, fine. Again, I'm not going to sit here and argue or debate it. That's fine. But as long as we know this is Reformation period, we know that the Thyatira and Sardis encompass the Protestant Reformation. That is emphatic and clear. It's crystal clear. So 538 to 1517, and then from Sardis comes following after 1517 to 1798. And then we come to the Church of Philadelphia,
yes,
right after that, from 1798 all the way to 1843. And then we come to the Church of Laodicea.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting, when you look at Laodicea, we know Laodicea has a time when God is going to judge mankind. And so we start from AD 1844, the following year, Philadelphia. And we then leads up all the way to the second coming of Jesus. So just based on this prophecy alone, again, even if we were to isolate it from Daniel 2,
yes,
we know from the sequence of events, the chronology clearly indicates we're in the seventh age of the church period, which is Laodicea, which means there is no eighth period, meaning after Laodicea is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming during this period.
Yes.
So it means a new heavens and a new earth. So where are we chronologically? We're in the Laodicean age of the church. Let me share something to our listening audience. It is not enough to be a good person.
That's right.
It's not enough to be a nice person. You have to be what John declared to, or Jesus, excuse me, declared to Nicodemus in John 3. You have to be born again.
Amen.
You need to be righteous. There's going to be a lot of nice, decent, good people who will never enter heaven. And the reason being is because they never, never surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ's sovereignty.
Yes.
Oh, friends, either Jesus is Lord of your life or he's not. Either Christ is the Holy One or he's not. And friends, either Jesus sits on the throne of your heart or he doesn't.
Amen.
Either you're born again or you're not. I think it really does come down to that issue of how we relate to this as on a personal level. You know, all these things that are spoken of by Jesus to us, and really, frankly, the prophets themselves, as well as the apostles, unless there's a personal application, all the theory means nothing. And I appeal to everybody. I really do. Please, you know, surrender your heart before it's too late. Don't hesitate, and don't be like the Jewish people of old who hardened their hearts in rebelliousness, thinking that they were sufficient to deal with the problems that confronted them. This world is losing its bearings, and I fear that shortly there we're going to see things that are almost unimaginable. And so I really do want to appeal to each and every one, and I hope and pray to God that we do come to a clearer understanding.
Listeners, after this solemn admonition, we're going to have a break for some music and come back with our closing thoughts.
Me to the promised land.
our closing thoughts, I will read from a book called The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan. It reads, "One of the most solemn and yet most glorious truths revealed in the Bible is that of Christ's second coming to complete the great work of redemption. To God's pilgrim people, so long left to sojourn in the region and shadow of death, a precious, joy-inspiring hope is given in the promise of his appearing, who is the resurrection and the life, to bring home again his banished. The doctrine of the second advent is the very keynote of the sacred scriptures. From the day when the first pair turned their sovereign steps from Eden, the children of faith have waited the coming of the Promised One to break the destroyer's power and bring them again to the lost paradise. Holy men of old looked forward to the advent of the Messiah in glory as the consummation of their hope. Enoch, only the seventh in descent from them that dwelt in Eden, he who for 3 centuries on earth walked with his God, was permitted to behold from afar the coming of the Deliverer. Behold, he declared, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all." Jude 14:15. The patriarch Job, in the night of his affliction, exclaimed with unshaken trust, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another." The coming of the Lord has been in all ages the hope of his true followers. The Saviour's parting promise upon Olivet that he would come again lighted up the future for his disciples, filling their hearts with joy and hope that sorrow could not quench nor trials dim. Amid suffering and persecution, the appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ was the blessed hope. When the Thessalonian Christians were filled with grief as they buried their loved ones who had hoped to live to witness the coming of the Lord, Paul, their teacher, pointed them to the resurrection to take place at the Saviour's advent. Then the dead in Christ would rise, and together with the living be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. "And so," he said, "shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, from The Great Controversy, pages 299 to 302, E.G. White. So listeners, with this in mind, let us now pray to close the study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and for your great and precious promise, Lord, that you will come again to take the redeemed back home. I pray, Lord, that we who have this hope and who are looking for you and believe in you and worship you as our God, I pray that you give us strength and patience, Lord, and courage to endure as we're here on this sin-darkened earth. Lord, time is short, and I pray that as we start this new year in 2025, I pray that each and every one of us will look into our hearts and see whether we are in the faith of Jesus Christ, to see whether we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would seek for a new experience, and I pray that we would restudy out your word, your message, and the message that you've given to us to give to the world at this time. Lord, there's a heaven to win and a hell to lose. And I pray, Lord, that we would not put mother or father or sister or brother or children or neighbors or friends before you. Because too many of us are, Heavenly Father. Lord, help us look to see where we are spending our time, how we are spending our time, who we are spending our time with, where we're spending our money, who we're spending our money upon, Lord, and why we are doing things. Help us to look at what we're wearing, what we're eating, what we're drinking, how we're working, how we're resting, how we are conducting our whole lives, even how we're ministering, Heavenly Father. I pray in all these things, Lord, that we are putting you first and not doing these things for self, but doing things for your honor and glory. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that's listening tonight who's never given their hearts to you, as Elder Ricardo had said before, Lord, I pray that they will give their hearts to you and be born again. And I pray for those even within the church who may never even have had a born again experience. I pray, Lord, that they will have one again. And even for those who may have fallen and slipped and backslidden and feel like there's no hope in getting back, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, to start again and be born again once more in you. Because you have eternal power, and Lord, there's nothing that you cannot do. But let us remember, Lord, that probation's doors are closing, and we never know if we're going to be living from one day to the next. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this new year will be a new life for us. Simply in that we'll allow your life to renew us and they will have a new experience in you. Help us to keep our minds heavenward and look heavenward. And I pray that each and every one listening, Lord, will be found true in you. So bless us and keep us. And this is my prayer and hope, humbly and truly, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. Or you can send a text message to 0794406 2786. If you have the Android app for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, go to the ebook section, then find the title Bible Readings from the Home. Look for chapter 61, Christ's Second Coming, and chapter 62. The manner of Christ's coming. These sections will give you more information about today's topic. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donation to our website at vitwradio.org. Everything costs, and your donations will be welcome. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. Well, listeners, thanks for joining us tonight. Good night, and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.